Take your Bibles, please, and open to the book of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8. And we've been looking at this parable that the Lord Jesus was telling concerning the soils. And as I have shared with you, I called it the parable of the soils. And that is a common view by many pastors, I think, because that's what it is talking about, even though the sower is mentioned here. And at first seems to be prominent, but yet not so. So we're going to look at verses 4 through 15 in our reading, and then concentrate on the 8th verse and the 15th verse, as this is the last soil that we're going to look at. And when a great crowd was gathered, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold." As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that they seeing, they may not see, and hearing, they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, when the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. And as for those what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience." Let's look to the Lord. Father, we just thank you for the precious truth of the word that is so powerful. It speaks to our hearts. It enables us to grow in grace. It is necessary for instruction, for reproof, for growth. And we know that you're using it to build up the body of Christ. It is the most important part of the service. The Word of God is central. And we pray that you will make it clear to the hearer, that it will go true into the heart, and that we will have understanding, but Lord, not only understanding, but Lord, that it will be practiced in our daily life. Thank you for all those that have come. May you get the glory for what we look into today, and may it be made clear through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we have been looking at the parable, we have been looking at the various elements that the Lord Jesus has been presenting to describe the different conditions of the heart. Man is blinded in his heart. If we truly and totally understand the doctrine of total depravity, we recognize that as the seed of the gospel is spread, it falls into the hearts and ears of different people in different ways. Not all are going to hear the word of God the same way. But the word of God, as the Bible describes it, is not something that everybody is looking forward to hearing. They would rather not hear the word. That's in man's nature. I want us to just briefly look at Psalm 14 for a minute. And within that psalm, we see some things that are really important that help us to understand something about the nature of the hardened heart. And this psalm, of course, has its twin in Psalm 53, both of which the Apostle Paul used to show the condition of the heart. The fool says in his heart, verse 1, there is no God. Notice he says it in his heart. That's the main thing that Jesus is dealing with when he tells these parables. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. Notice there is none who does good. None. That's very conclusive. That's very comprehensive. None. Not Noah, not Daniel, not Abraham. None. The Lord looked down from heaven on the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Now, if the psalmist says something twice here, then the idea is emphasis or emphatic of man's total depravity. Have they no knowledge, all the evildoers, verse 4, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? There they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous. So we see here there is a universal problem. Man has a hard heart. And as we go back to the parable, we see the condition of that heart. In the book of Matthew, Matthew describes it in Matthew chapter 13 in his rendering of this parable. In verse 23, he says here, as far as what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruits and yields in one case 100-fold, and another 60, and another 30. There are some that hear the word. But as we looked at the various types of soil that the Lord Jesus was speaking about, there were some that had various degrees of hardness, various degrees where the soil was either impenetrable or unfruitful. And so the Lord Jesus tells them that for you, verse 10, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. The secrets. In other words, because of the hardness of heart, people do not understand. In Deuteronomy chapter 29:29, Moses wrote, the secret things belong to the Lord, but those things that are revealed belong unto us. And so you and I, we cannot understand, we cannot perceive, unless God opens the heart. God has to open your heart. If you're understanding what I'm preaching today, it is not because of my ability. It is not because of my oratory, which is minimal. It is because God opens your heart to the word and you see. Your eyes are open to the truth. So, to you, it has been given, the disciples. Jesus told the parable before all. And as we understand, Jesus spoke in parables because the disciples say, why are you speaking in parables? Why don't you make it clear for everyone to understand? And Jesus explained to them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. It is because they refuse to hear the truth. They refuse to hear the truth. And because they refuse to hear the truth, God in judgment spoke in parables to them. But the disciples were those whom God chose to reveal his word. And now to those who are in this time period that we live in today, we can now understand the word by the grace of God. The ones along the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The word of God is to be sown. And as it is sown, it's going to fall in various different places. And the devil comes and takes the word away from their hearts. That is so true. When you sow the seed, not everyone is going to receive the word of God. Not everyone's going to receive the word. Some are going to treat you rudely. Some will treat you with disrespect. Some will laugh. Some will mock. So the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts because they cannot understand it, that they may not believe and be saved. It is their judgment. And then the other soils that he mentions from verse 13 down, the one on the rock, and those, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. So there are those that hear the word temporarily, and then a trial or affliction illustrated by the heat of the sun comes, and they wither away. In other words, they never come back. They come for a time, and they're under the instruction of the word for a time, but they never did have the seed germinate in the heart. It was only on the surface. Some people complain, and they say, people go away from the church because of one reason or another. It wasn't relevant to them, or it wasn't something that they could get something out of, or something happened within the church, and so they walk away from the faith, and they never come back to the faith, and so they blame it on man. But in one sense, those that are true to the faith will stay with the faith. John said they went out from us because they were not of us. And so true salvation will persevere. In fact, the whole basis, the whole idea of this whole parable is that the heart in which the seed takes place will successfully mature into lasting fruit. It's the expectation of perseverance that we see here in the text before us. And we're going to see that as we look at the good soil. The good soil. So what Jesus is getting at is the true mark of authentic faith. What is the true mark of authentic faith? The true mark of authentic faith is endurance. Endurance. Let me just read to you from John chapter 8 this morning. John 8. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read that section of scripture. Verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." In other words, if the word of God has taken hold of you, you will abide in my word. So Jesus says in verse 15 here, for the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast. They hold it fast. In other words, they cling to it no matter what's going through in their life. No matter what they're going through, no matter what they're dealing with, they hold it fast. They hold it fast. Let me give you an illustration of that, please, in the book of Job, if you will. Turn to the book of Job for a minute, Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Verse 13. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and there came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep, and the servants consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servant with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. Wow. What happened to Job? The seed took hold. The seed had taken hold. And there was nothing that was going to change Job to turn away from God. Nothing. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. You see, the seed took hold. The seed took hold. And so we see that endurance. As we look at our text, we see those hearing the word hold it fast in an honest and good heart. In an honest and good heart. They hold it fast. They do not let it go. They cling to it. We see also within the passage of Scripture that they bear fruit. That they bear fruit. This is another key element to what's happening here. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And as the Lord is teaching the disciples here, he's teaching them that in order to bear fruit, there must be a connection. There must be a connection. There must be a connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be tied in to him. He says, I am the true vine, verse 1, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. God's purpose for you and for me is fruit bearing. It's not all the stuff that we do, all the accomplishments that we've made in our life, all the things that we can say, hey, I've done this, I've done that. No, that's not the issue. The main purpose for you, for God saving you, is to bear fruit. If you are a true child of God, you will bear fruit. He's teaching you here. If you're not a true child of God, you don't bear fruit. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He takes away. And as he mentions later in the passage, that is taken away and burned. But every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Pruning is a painful procedure, is it not? James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. By the way, steadfastness is fruit. Endurance, long-suffering. And let steadfastness have its effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That the trial of your faith, though it be tried with fire, may produce that fruit. So if we are in him and grafted in him, as we have been born again, we will bear fruit. God will make sure that you bear fruit. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, he that began a good work in me, I will perfect until the day of Jesus Christ. We'll be perfected until the day of Jesus Christ. So he says here, he prunes it, that he may bear more fruit. Have you experienced the pruning? Yes, you have. He says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Fruit is not something that you produce. It is something that God does. So when Jesus talks about the soil here, remember, the soil is not something you prepare. You cannot prepare your own soil. You cannot prepare your own heart. God is doing it. David in Psalm 51, he cried out, create in me a clean heart, O God. A clean heart. A broken spirit and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise, he says. What is that? God working in David's heart, because God was determined to bring forth fruit in David, even though his old nature was contrary to God. God was going to work in David to produce fruit. He is going to produce fruit in you. Be assured of that. If you are a true child of God, fruit will be coming forth from you. He says, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and are burned. So, therefore, any branch that is not bearing fruit is not a part of him. This passage does not teach that you lose your salvation. It's teaching that you are either in the vine or you're not in the vine. The various soils that we saw here were examples of soils that were not true soil. So as we look at this, we are to abide in him. In Galatians chapter 5, we see again this importance of fruit bearing, and it is a work of the Holy Spirit. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Notice what he says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So in other words, the fruit that comes is a result of the Spirit's work. You cannot go forth from here and say, well, you know what? I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to be more joyful. I'm going to be more peaceful. I need to have more patience, so I'm going to work on this. No, it doesn't come from you. It comes from the work of the Spirit of God, so that you are displaying what the Spirit has already done. Everything that happens in you that is pleasing to God is a result of God's work, not your work. If you try to be a patient person, how well do you do? You lose it, right? How many of you lost your patience recently? Do you know why you lost your patience? It's because you tried. Patience isn't going to be, oh, I'm not going to say that anymore. No, it doesn't happen from you. Patience is a result of God pressing you, afflicting you, trying you, so that automatically when that trial comes, you're patient. And you know what automatically is? It's the Spirit working. Wow, that person is really responding patiently to me right now. I wonder how that's happening. And that's what should happen. You should say, I wonder how that person can be so patient. It's because of God working. He that began a good work in you will perform it. So fruit is coming from him. That sort of makes sense, doesn't it? Because your salvation didn't come from him, right? You were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of flesh, but you were born what? Of God. The new birth came from him, didn't come from you. It wasn't your decision to make. It was God choosing you and creating you, recreating you, rather, regenerating you. It's a work of God. Why is it a work of God and not of man? Because if it's of God, God gets the glory. But if it's of you, who gets the glory? God doesn't get the glory. So fruit is critical in the Christian life because it shows that you're of God. The regeneration process is of God, therefore the fruit is of God. And it all comes from God, so that when people see you living out this life, they say, wow, what I see in that person is of God. In other words, when people see you and me, if the seed fell in the good ground, they should say, I see Christ. I see Christ. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Since we're right next door, And let's look at verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And you might be tempted to say, well, boy, if it wasn't for me believing, I wouldn't be saved. No, wait a minute. And this was not of your own. It's a gift of God. Okay. Grace, it's a gift. Faith is a gift. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But look at verse 10. Here we see the will of God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for, and I can say, fruit. Fruit. Good works. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So not only is the soil going to produce fruit, as we see here, but we see that it is God's will for you and I to be fruitful in every good work. In every good work. So, we hear the word, and it falls into the good soil, and it is authentic because it endures. It is authentic because it endures. It is authentic because it bears fruit. It bears fruit. And we see that here. So, the success or skill does not depend upon the sower. It does not depend upon the sower. What does it depend upon? The preparation of the soil. What does that depend upon? God. God. Who prepares the soil? Let's just go back to Psalm 51 just for a minute. Psalm 51. David cries out. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. Then verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. You do not prepare your own soil. God will do it. God will do it. God breaks up the soil. God prepares the heart. How do we know that? As we looked at our passage this morning in our Sunday school class, no man comes unto the Father except the Father draw him. And he that cometh to me, no man will cast out. In other words, God is preparing his people to receive the word. And we just sow the seed. We sow the seed. We give out the word of God. And guess what? To those whom God's prepared, it'll go down deep, the roots will come up, they'll grow, and fruit will come. So what a blessing when we think about it. It's not our responsibility to grow the seed, but it is our responsibility to sow. It is our responsibility to sow. And this parable is very, very insightful that there are many different types of soils out there. So as you think about that, ask yourself, what soil am I? What soil am I? As you've heard the word of God for the past few weeks, has the word of God been snatched from you? So that you don't understand the word, nor do you want to understand the word. Do you have an interest in the word? Do you want to hear it? Do you want to study the word of God? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed? Is it something that you yearn for? As Peter says, to desire the sincere milk of the word? Are you the soil that fell, where the seed fell on the stones that were just below the surface? And that you receive the word, but then a trial comes and you say, this isn't for me. Like the illustration of Pliable, who got stuck in the slough of despond and said, this is enough, I'm leaving. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Or are you the seed that fell amongst thorns and all your cares are about the things of the world? The things of the world. As James tells us, you can't love the world and love God. He that loves the world is at enmity with God. And the things and the cares and riches and pleasures of the life, the fruit does not mature. There's no fruit to be seen for that seed that fell amongst the noxious weeds. But are you the soil, the good soil, and that fruit does come? That's the question that we can ask ourselves as we consider this. Are you staying with the stuff no matter what's happened in your life? Are you hanging on and staying with the Lord? Even though trials and tests and afflictions have besought you, are you staying with the stuff? Standing fast. That's the true test of whether the soil is good soil. And I trust that God will enable you and help you as we look into the word continually together. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the preciousness of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the parable that Jesus told, very searching in itself. And Lord, as we examine ourselves this morning before you, and we take this time to examine ourselves, we recognize that our fruit sometimes is not what it should be. There are places where it's passed by that the fruit is not worth picking. But we're thankful too for your heavenly hand that comes along and prunes us, that comes along and puts us through the test and the pain of testing and trial. Because little do we know that you are working to produce fruit that can be seen. And when others see the fruit, you'll get the glory, not us. You'll get the glory because people will say, wow, that's of God. That's not of that person. That's not produced by that person. It's something that God's done. And we trust that people will see Christ in us. We thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.